Isn't it good to be among friends? A prayer. Grant, Lord, that the words I speak and the thoughts of all our hearts will be acceptable to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please sit down. In our series on the fruits of the Spirit, we come to patience. And I have to confess that when I was first told that was the theme for today, there came into my mind a rhyme from my childhood. Patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Seldom found in woman, never in a man. You can, to be politically correct, put it the other way round. Never found in woman, seldom in a man, but it's not accurate. Patience is the only one of the fruits of the Spirit about which I think you could make such a flippant remark. And that perhaps says something about the way in which we view it as a Christian virtue. It's a rather soft virtue, isn't it? It implies a lack of action, almost a fatalistic waiting for something to happen and putting up with the situation in the meantime. And it's not a very attractive trait of character. Our current culture doesn't rate patience. We want and expect everything to happen for us now. We have fast food, and we have the corresponding fast diets. At this time of the year, we are told we can transform our weedy and straggly gardens into Chelsea Flower Show exhibits in an instant. We are assured that we can restyle our home in a weekend. Hobby magazines tell us there are wonderful projects you can do in an evening. If we order goods, at the very latest we expect next day delivery. Amazon are now trialling 1-hour delivery slots in various cities around the country. And in a programme on the radio last week about the future of retailing in this high-tech age, very serious consideration was given to the prospect of 1-hour deliveries by drones. The mind boggles at the thought of all these things flitting about, dropping parcels. Stand in a queue and notice how after about a minute and a half, people begin to shift and fidget and sigh heavily if there's any hold-up at the till. If we're honest, we feel that impatience building in ourselves as well. But how long do we stand in the average queue? Can we really not wait 5 minutes out of a day to be served? Our two Bible readings talk about very long waiting times. Christians wait for the return of Jesus in glory, to judge the world and to put right the many wrongs that plague us. The first disciples and believers found that waiting hard, and we do too. We want God to intervene in our world. We have been praying for years for peace in the Middle East. Doesn't he see that and the need for action? We want God to act in our own lives too. We've got decisions to make for which we want guidance. There are problems to be solved fairly. There are needs to be met. Why can't we see God in action? Does being patient mean that we just have to sit about and wait? Definitely not. James tells his readers to be patient while they wait for God to act, and he uses the picture of a farmer. The crop has been planted, and the farmer must wait for the harvest to develop as the seasons move on. Fair enough. But that waiting doesn't mean doing nothing. Anyone who has grown things, whether it's food crops or flowers, knows that the planting is only one stage in the process. While waiting for the plants to mature, there is a lot of work to be done. checking for weeds and pests, dealing with them so that the plants can grow, protecting them from the weather, whether it's cold or heat, drought or flood, adding fertilizer to encourage good growth, and so on. And this applies to us in our spiritual lives. We wait for God to act in our personal and church life and in the wider world. And while we wait, we can make sure that everything is done to bring about the right conditions for that action. Is our prayer life active so that we can hear God if he speaks to us? Do we read his word, listen to other believers, draw on their experience so that we recognize God's guidance when it comes? Are we living lives where wrong influences and temptations are kept away? As we exercise patience, there's plenty to do. I've been struck lately by the story of the development of Missionary Aviation Fellowship, thanks to an audiobook lent to us by Pam. The founding team knew very clearly early on that they were doing the right thing. They were meeting a real need in the mission field in Africa. By providing an air ferry service, they were enabling mission work to be continued in very isolated and often completely cut off parts of the continent. But everything didn't happen immediately. Sometimes they had to wait months for governments to give them permission to overfly their land or to build airstrips. They needed new planes. They needed new people so that the work could expand. And of course they needed finance. In one situation, they waited for 2 years for a new plane and a new pilot to arrive. But while they were waiting, they didn't stop working. They planned, they drew up the maps, they made contacts with the necessary people, and they continued to pray. And when the time came and the plane arrived and the pilot was there, they could get that project on the ground, up and running very quickly. They make the comment more than once that looking back, they could see that God's timing was right, even though at the time their waiting seemed pointless and very long. The Apostle Peter writes to a group of believers, and he reminds them that God's timescale is not ours. God sees the whole of history, and days and hours are not the large blocks of time to him that they may be to us. 2 Peter chapter 3. You should never lose sight of this fact, dear friends, that time is not the same with the Lord as it is with us. To him, a day may be 1,000 years, and 1,000 years only a day. It's not that he is slow about keeping his promise, as some seem to think. The fact is, he's very patient towards you. He has no wish that anyone should be destroyed. He wishes that all would come to repentance. Exercising patience allows us to see in God's timetable, not our own short-term one, and to trust him for the outcome, without wasting our time and spiritual energy becoming anxious and fretful. Patience and trust go together. We can wait patiently because we trust God to fulfill his promises and to answer our prayers at the right time. Patience, while we wait for guidance, is an example of our trust in him. After all, impatience can almost be selfishness. Deal with my needs now. And we forget that other people's lives are involved. God works in them too. He holds all the threads of history as he weaves the full pattern, not just our particular corner of it. Impatience can spoil things. My one and only attempt at bread making ended in disaster because of my impatience. I didn't allow enough time for the yeast to work. The resulting loaf, when it came out of the oven, looked good, smelt wonderful, as fresh bread always does. 5 minutes of sawing away with the bread knife convinced me that something was wrong. I couldn't even break it open or hack it into pieces to feed to the birds. The result is now somewhere in a landfill site in Essex. It will be discovered in centuries to come, and archaeologists will write learned papers on this mid-20th century experiment in eco-friendly cobblestones. I should point out this is the first that David has heard of this experiment as well. I was so embarrassed I hid it in the bin and kept quiet. Seriously though, impatience can do damage. Do you remember the story of Abraham and Sarah and their servant girl Hagar? God had promised Abraham that he would found from him a nation. But when nothing seemed to happen and no baby arrived, Abraham and Sarah took matters into their own hands, and Abraham fathered a child by Hagar, the servant girl. The echoes of the disruption that followed those actions can still be heard today in the tensions that exist in the Holy Land. Impatience led to unnecessary heartache and distress. We need to be patient and trust in God to act in His time. But while we wait, we can continue to work as good and faithful servants, as Jesus reminded his hearers. There's much that we can do, not only for ourselves, but also for God's kingdom, while we wait for the next step to be made clear. There are others to be told and shown the good news of God's forgiving love in Jesus, given the opportunity to respond to that love and forgiveness. There are areas of wrong to be put right in our personal lives and in our world. I do appreciate that such words are easy to say, but not so easy to put into practice, especially when we find ourselves in a tough situation, suffering emotionally, physically, or spiritually. And it's then that we need to draw on our Christian family for strength and support, and to remind ourselves of the promise that we are never left alone to face difficult situations. Many of us would bear witness to the comfort and strength that we've received from others and from the Holy Spirit in times of difficulty. And we should therefore remember to pray for those who are facing stress and distress. Be prepared to walk patiently with them and to do what we can to change their situation. And we should remember especially to pray for those who are being persecuted for their faith. We can examine our lives to see if there's any way in which we're blocking the working out of God's purpose for others and for our world by the injustice that we choose to overlook, the expectations and demands we make of others near at hand and far away. And that brings us to a second point about exercising patience. We need to be patient with each other. I notice that in most of his letters, Paul includes instructions about getting on with fellow believers. James, in today's passage, said, "Don't grumble about each other." The problem of getting on with our fellow believers is not a new one. I think of it like this. Think of a large family group of friends who set out for a walk. What happens? There are some who stride out eagerly. They know the way, and they're anxious to get to that tea room or that pub lunch. Others take more time. They may find the walking difficult. They may find that they don't have the energy to go the whole way. Some shoot off down side paths to look at other things. It can be so annoying if you're a strider out to have to keep stopping to let the others catch up. It can also be worrying if you are limping along to be told, oh, do come on. But with patience, the walk can be completed amicably. If the striders out will slow down and look behind them, they may see that somebody has fallen and needs a supporting arm or even a piggyback. Some may choose to slow their pace down so that the stragglers can continue to feel included. And those who find the way a bit rough can be encouraged by the company of somebody with fresh energy who can assure them it does get better and the views round the corner are wonderful. I don't want to make the point in too much detail. It's an illustration, not an allegory. But I think you get what I'm trying to say. We work and wait in patience for God's purpose to be revealed. And we share that attitude of patience with those around us. It's not always easy, but it is the way to develop and show the fruit of the Spirit. And it's the atmosphere in which God's work can be done and be seen by the world. So let us be patient until the Lord's coming. Trust him for his plans and timescale. Encourage and be encouraged by others on the journey of faith with you. And live in patient expectation of the due working out of his plan for your life. Let us pray. Loving God, grant us the grace to accept with patient trust the working out of your plans for our world and for our lives. Show us how to work for you, reflecting your generous love, so that others will come to know you more truly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.